or anything.
That wouldn't be classified as the sufferings of Christ, I suppose.
Okay. And I'm the big chicken.
Is it today?
They're just pulling out the staples today, but a week from tomorrow they do. I have to go in for another surgery. Are we on?
Oh yeah. Are these being uploaded into the system? These tapes?
Not recently.
Last one that's been uploaded was February. End of February 22nd or something like that.
I've got a couple of emails asking me, and I didn't know what they
Well, it's got to, something's got to happen.
So don't worry about that later.
Yeah. Yeah, I've gotten, you've got emails, I've gotten 20 calls.
Yeah, I have a question. What's going on with Gary?
He's going to be released between now and sometime before Monday. Or Monday is the last. And so what we're going to do is we're going to bring him back here. And then we'll have to arrange some kind of a schedule where people can sleep in the office so he's not alone.
So people can stay in.
Yeah, either somebody has to be there today, and then at night somebody has to be there also.
Yeah, but I'm thinking that somebody needs to be there. Like, the women can go down there and stay with him during the day to get whatever he needs and stuff like that. Just kind of be around. And at night, obviously, a man's going to have to sleep with him.
Right.
In the place.
Anyway, that's where we're
going to... I could be...
Well, I know, but if there's a man around...
I could be down there during the day if I'm not going to the hospital, but at night I couldn't do it because I'd have to pull my machine down.
Right. Well, we're going to meet. The elder's going to meet and work out the details, and then we'll have to send out a deal and get people to sign up for SIFs and stuff. So, anyhow, go to Numbers 13. What I've tried to do the last few days is to cause our tent pegs to expand, to see that what the broad picture. What I want to do today is to study the parable of that, which is this Moses sending the spies into, and then the report of the spies. What? You did it again.
I missed the first sentence. No, I didn't understand the rest.
Well, what we've done is to say that the whole thing of what I've talked about for the last week.
I know, but you just said it and I missed it.
Oh, well, you know what we've talked about, don't you? The idea that we've expanded the pegs of our tent to the end of the time and space, that the mercy seat is everywhere because it's our overriding reality, so you're never in a place where he isn't. It's only your mind that tells you that.
Yeah.
All right?
Which is just like the question about your suffering. I mean, even there, he is.
Yeah. You're not. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
All right. Go to Numbers 13 and start. Somebody read it, starting at verse. They've named what the first part of 13 is. They named the spies that were sent in. And then verse. Start in verse. Well, I'll start in verse 16, Gary. All right, do you want to read? Who wants to read?
These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Oshay, son of Nun. Why did I say that one? And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin to Rehob as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook Eshol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, "We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight."
Yeah, continue reading. There's somebody else read. Read down to, till I tell you to stop.
"And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, 'Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore had the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt?' And they said one to another, 'Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt.' Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, 'The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not you against the Lord, neither fear you the people of this land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not.' But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, 'How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? I will smite them with pestilence, and will disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they.' And Moses said unto the Lord, 'Then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, and that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of a cloud, and in a pillar of fire by night. Now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, Because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore hath he slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord.
Okay, that's enough. If you understand that the nation of Israel was and their journey, which the New Testament says, and their journey from the world or Egypt to the promise was a picture or a parable or a pattern of what the real journey is, then we can talk about what's going on and what's happened here. I believe, and I have experienced and know with everything in me, that this place that we talk about always, the New Jerusalem, is everything. It's your heart's desire. It's everything in the universe. Let's close the doors and let the air conditioner come on a minute. And what then? Move over closer then. Anak, the children of Anak? Anak was they're the giants. What are your giants? What are you dealing with that keeps you from being at rest? What are you dealing with that keeps you from total abandonment of self? It could be debt. It could be a sense of responsibility. It could be a million things. But it really is only one. It's bringing an evil report against the Lord. If there is, if Harry here, you know, I think he would be able to today. He would be able to tell you that, because from his standpoint, everything was a giant, and every day something had to be dealt with, and he had illusions and visions of being able to do something or think up something in which, you know, all of the different, whatever issue he was dealing with would be dealt with. Does anybody understand who their giants are? Or do you want me to point them out?
Point Pete's out.
Now, why would you do that?
Point yours out.
Relationships.
There you go. Make a
feet
man.
Thanks.
There you go. Have fun.
Well, I can tell you what my giants used to be, but I don't think they're not. If I don't know what my giants are now, because I don't have any reason for not being in that, in this place of rest. But you know, the whole idea of probably the biggest giant was that I'm not even worthy enough to name the name of God. I have no right to talk about this stuff. And so that was my biggest giant. But my giants were different, because I had seen the vanity and emptiness of most of life. And so then my giant became, well, why in the hell don't people understand? Why can't they see? So, I mean, those are the kind of giants that I've had. But, you know, like for Gary, his giant is his work. He's got to continue. He's got to do this. He's got to take care of that. And it's a huge giant.
What's my giant? Too many?
No, there's only one. His name is Ronnie.
Here's a
ministering to self. But so, because, and what does it mean to refuse to go up to say what these folks said? This is the internal mind talk, you know. It'd be better. Let's go back and, you know, whatever. But there is no reason. Any reason that you have means no faith.
In this 13 or 8, if the Lord delight in us, and that's kind of the question, And you say that you know that. Does the Lord delight in you? If you're bringing up an evil report,
He doesn't.
Say that.
And you understand, what is it clear what this evil report is? It's an excuse for time. No, I'm just kidding. It's an excuse for leaving the mercy seat. It's something you have to deal with. It's the fear of a huge giant is a fear of prophesying, of saying what's there. You know, there are a jillion of them. But I'm telling you from
that's
God's...
Right there.
What?
Fear of saying something for the retribution you might receive.
That's my giant?
No, that's everybody else's giant.
God, right? That ain't your giant.
Yeah, that ain't your giant.
That ain't even one of your friends.
Come on.
I mean, that's why people sit here and we got monologue half the time. That's a big giant.
Is that your giant?
It's not mine, but... I mean, we talk so much about the monologue thing. Why don't people speak their mind?
It's because Oli isn't nice.
Oli's a giant.
Oli's their giant.
That's disgusting. That's absolutely disgusting.
It's disgusting, but it's true.
Now, who are you speaking for?
Not me. Good Lord. I already told you were the devil, so I'm good with that.
We got that down.
Okay, the point of this is, what goes on in your mind? What are these things, these inhabitants up here, saying to you? That's the bottom line. Because, again, the only reason those inhabitants are the same as the inhabitants here that were saying, bringing the evil report, that's their job. Their job is to bring the evil report. And they damn fine job do they do. And so that's why that evil report, if you give it any breath or pay attention to those voices at all, that the evil report is your real religion. And that's why you've become an enemy of God. It's so easy to be at ease, at peace. It doesn't take any effort. It just costs you your life. Because, and again, this whole thing is about, you know, it's Joanna's constant thing for many years. Well, you just don't believe. And that's the bottom line. You don't believe. You've sort of somehow given your eternity and trusting in God, but you don't trust Him for the next this issue, whatever it is. And so you got to do something about it. You got to think it about it. You got to give it breath. You got to plan it out. You got to do this and this and step it up. And it's just it's obscene. And the reason it is because you believe, you don't really believe that your life is Christ. You believe that you are what everybody else believes. You're this independent entity, separate from and having to deal with life. And that's the great deception. That's the lie. What?
Well, I'm thinking about you recognize the giant and there's a weighing of that giant against God, and in this case, everything He's done for them or everything He's done for me when I see the difference. You know, the giant, without the perspective of your history with God, is a big giant. But placing in context with, you know, 40 years or 30 years of miracles, and then faith is possible because you see clearly. It's not just a... Because I was thinking a quick repentance is almost too cheap or something. It doesn't have the enough substance to...
You realize what you've just done.
Yeah, you got to have time in this equation or it's not going to work. No, it's not time, it's consideration. It's not cheap to... Because I was thinking, if I recognize a giant, then I go, oh, I repent. and move on, but I don't feel any weight to that repentance. It's like a rock skimming over the water. It's not going to go deep enough to affect my core without
again, again, if you recognize at the core that you are the chief of sinners and that you are without redemption, you can't be redeemed. You are totally lost. It doesn't take any effort to see this. It's only if you think a part of you is good. If you've bought that lie, that time is necessary.
I don't think time is the issue here. I think it's just the that this has to be seen. You have to recognize your wickedness, and that the cross has to take its place in that transaction.
That's what being born again is. That's what that means, being born again. So it takes you out of the picture. And so I maybe it's just the way that words come out, but in my mind, everything you just said was an evil report. No, I understand.
There can't be an excuse like I have to have time. But at the same time, there is, there are scriptures about consider this and,
Oh, I know.
Labor to enter into the rest and all those kinds of things.
I know. So, but remember the graces of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, but that isn't scriptural. It's expansions on, it's from the Talmud. The whole idea of our... What?
Girl, you just got served by the Talmud. You got served by the Talmud.
Huh? I don't understand what.
Well, I mean, just the way you said that, it sounds like we're now dismissing, the idea of the graces of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
No, it was a way of explaining something. It wasn't that doesn't become doctrine. It was a way of explaining rebellion. The whole idea of at any point, whether it was in Abraham or in Jacob, at any point there could have been the instant abandonment. And so that's all I'm saying. I mean, I'm recognizing, I know how things work, but what I'm trying to get us to see, I want us to see from God's perspective. And from looking at the perspective of the mercy seat, not from the bottom up. And so the whole idea from God's perspective is everything was finished at the cross. And everything about you and I were finished at the cross. And then take it back further, everything about you and I were finished from before the foundation of the world. The only thing that's happening is our mind has to see that for some reason. I don't understand fully why. Two things. I don't understand why some must be alive, if you will, in walking the earth when the end comes. And I don't understand why I don't even know how to articulate this one. Well, anyway,
something in that what you just said has struck God's vulnerability in this thing that we are, because he's placed himself vulnerable, it seems, because he certainly could do whatever he wants to do, and yet it's as if he's subject to us.
Well, it's that because of his nature, his humility, he cannot occupy where we are.
Right. And that makes what you're just now talking about make sense, that why some would have to be alive. Well, it's for whatever reason, I still understand his humility requires it.
And that's why this whole idea of the evil report I guess the best way to say what else I don't understand is I don't understand the extent of his long suffering. It's mind blowing. It's mind bending.
The nature of love, I guess.
And the whole, you know, of all my rebellion over, you know, I think I came out of the womb rebellious. But everything that I did and all of this, you know, stupid things. But the point of what I want us to see herein is that we can never use our own experience to define the mystery, because our own experience is rife with rebellion.
I'll say that. So we cannot use our own experience
to define the mystery, because our own experience is rife with rebellion.
Right.
And so by describing that rebellion, it's if it's not done as confession, then it's done as justification. There's only two ways. And if it's justification, then we are justifying an evil report. That's what I'm trying to say. And so,
that's a
big deal
what you said there. Oh, I
know. A lot of words. A lot of words. How were they? Pretty good.
Does anybody understand what I'm talking about?
Yes. There he goes again.
I like that. Because using your experience and to justify the way you do or don't believe, it's all about you and how your filters have mixed this stuff up and implanted it in you, and eventually you just can leave God out because I've had experiences that say this and that. I've misinterpreted every one of them, but they're mine.
Well, there's also people that don't even go through the experiences. I mean, as we said before, you know, you either learn through experience or you learn through empathy. And I learned what that word means. So there are people who, quote-unquote, empathize, but mix that up as well. And that turns into a fucked-up report.
Yeah, the predicate for why we're studying this is that there is no justification for not remaining on the mercy seat, not remaining in the New Jerusalem. And the reason we read this report of the spies is that's what, you know, just about everybody does, is they justify their own rebellion. Well, because I've got a family, or because I've got this, or because I've just got to deal with this. And you don't ever see them as giants because in your mind, they're not in the way of. That's why it's like people that teach dispensationalism, that God is acting differently at different times. Well, what that does is it teaches rebellion. Because,
Speaking of defining repentance in your own terms, I think this is kind of true, what I'm about to say. Like, to me, repentance is when things build up really bad, then I finally let go.
Yeah.
You think that's kind of true?
Yeah.
Well, it is.
You wouldn't stick with that?
No, I'll let it go.
The only thing that happens, and this is why the only reason for preaching, the only reason for Bible study, is so that the act of, first of all, you begin to realize all of this infinite things that you do by nature that are to be repented of, and secondly, that you repent faster. And so till finally, the repentance is the state of being. There is... And it's not that you repent you do things and then you repent, it's that if you're not in repentance, then you feel something is wrong. You know it. And that's the difference. That's, and everything when you're not in repentance is by definition an evil report in this parable, in this story. Does that make sense? You know, again, since Gary is the only airy guy here today, I'll pick on him.
What?
Gary is the only airy guy here today. A-R-R-Y on the end of his name. Never mind. That's what an airy guy is in my terminology. You know, I can remember years of discussions about the reason, you know, that there were really two different Garys. There was a Gary here on the block, and then there was a Gary at work. And we had jillions of discussions about that. And there was a Gary that was in Bible study, and then there was a Gary that had the responsibilities of a family. And what that does is it produces Phariseeism, which it tends to cause one to justify themselves. And so, and, you know, it's understandable, but it's still rebellion. And that's what I wanted you to see. Just these guys, the sons of Anak, were huge. They were giants. They were the, what's his name? Goliath was one of the...
He was a descendant.
Descendant of Anak. You know, and if you read what... I mean, he was over 9 feet tall. He was... I mean, he was huge. And that... And so here we have these 10, you know, probably 5'6" Israelis going up and seeing these guys. Well, it's obviously, you're out of your mind if you don't have some fear. But God called that fear an evil report. And that's all I'm trying to get you to say, because whether your giant is your family, whether your giant is your own image of yourself, whether your giant is debt, whatever it is, it's a giant that if you give that any breath whatsoever, you're bringing an evil report before God. Where God says those giants will be food for you. And it's all cause... really, in a very real way, about where is your Christ? You know, for most people who name the name of Christ, Christ is that person, that God, who they will meet at their death and spend eternity with. For some, Christ is that place in meetings, etc., where they get a feeling... some spirit has given them goosebumps. For some, Christ is, you know, a periodic visitor to your life, like a footsteps in the sand crap. But God says no to any of those. Christ, he says, you aren't. He is. And you have... everything that you do in time and space is continuing in his test, not yours. You have nothing. There is nothing going on with you. There's no experience. There's nothing. You must continue with him in his test. And his test is pristine and simple. Never once... to lean on your own, we could go through the list. Never once to make a reference to your own past. Never once to lean on your own arm of understanding. Never once to give breath to anything in time and space. You know, and all the rest of them that you've heard me talk about for 35 years. And so that's your life. You know, we often say that, you know, because of you've been perfected by one offering, when God looks at you, he sees Jesus. But by the same token, when God looks at Jesus, he sees you. And that's the most humbling thing there is, if you can hear that. And it takes you out of the picture. It's all him. And that's my purpose, my joy, my everything, is to cause and be an instrument of you seeing that. Without any reference to all this other stuff. So the point of talking about it, this was all in the context of continuing with him and his test and his temptation. And that continuance, we've been studying that the mercy seat is wherever you are, and therefore every place is equal. But now I'm talking about what's going internally. There's no excuse. There's no. All the giants are food, but don't give them any. They're meaningless. There's nothing that can keep you from faith, except your mind. Your giants. Amen. I gotta go. I'm supposed to be gone already. I didn't know it was after you didn't do your job. You should have yelled at me. I'll do that.